So David, why don't you come on up? We have a guest speaker today, and excited. How many know Dave Taylor? Anybody remember David Taylor? We've had him here several times. And so he's going to bring his blinding light to our service here today.
And there's going to be a little glow up here.
There's going to be a little glow around here. You have your normal glow there. It's good. So I want to pray for him and just receive him. Many of us know him through our school of ministry, and also he's probably been here once a year or once every 2 years for a long time now. He has a prophetic ministry, a really profound one, and comes from Kansas City, and that's where he's been living. He also has another job.
Actually,
or two.
Retired.
Oh, you retired.
Yes,
all
did.
Right.
It's awesome.
Every time I go into Hallmark, I think of you, just even the last time, but you're no more with Hallmark. So.
You can still pray for me.
Okay. So he's one of those guys. You're creating those Hallmark cards. You're a part of the process.
Yeah, and I was the brains of it. I was a creative director, so I did design editorial. And so really direction, kind of a big way in that. So if you saw season cards, I had an influence.
All right, well, let's lift the hand out and pray for him. And he's been here many times. He ministers to us through various ways through the years, including our school of ministry lately, and then, of course, times like this. So, well, we just received David. We just thank you for he and his lovely wife who've come here to be with us. We just thank you, God, for just the anointing he carries and the blessing he carries, the heart he carries, and just the joy he carries. We just thank you, God, for him being such a gift to the body of Christ. And we just receive him as a gift from you to us today as he just releases whatever God has for him today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Mike. By the way, I was going to look out there and see all the people that I just love to see. I know there's a lot of folks here that we have relationship with, and thank you for receiving my wife and I so well. This is my wife over here, sitting next to Bruce. It's Ramona. We've been married 47 years, so we're going for a record, okay? And I'm going to put this over here. I think I'm going to start with a song. This morning about 3 o'clock, God got me up, and I'm like, you know, I need some sleep. He doesn't really seem to care. And we had a conversation. He said, you know, and this is the thing. I prepared really well. And then he goes, just put that aside. I have some other things to say. That's the joy of being a prophetic person. That's better at that time that I've been preaching before. And in the middle of it, he says, oh, by the way, I want you to change the subject. And that's a real delicate one. So I feel privileged. But I want to start with a song. And I think they've queued it up for me. And some of you will remember this. This goes way back. But it's been a theme song of mine for most of my life as a Christian. I've been a Christian for almost 53 years now. And it has been a ride. Obviously, I've been alive a lot longer than that, as you can tell. So would you mind queuing the song up, please?
I am a servant. I am listening for my name. I sit here waiting. I've been looking at the game that I've been playing. I've been staying much the same. When you are lonely, you're the only one to blame. I am a servant. I am listening for the call. I've been unfaithful, so I sit here in the hall. How
We are the servant. We literally are the servant of Christ. And if you listen to that song and you feel that way, then you're in good company. Because the reality is this, that he calls us and we're inadequate. But because we're inadequate, he is more than adequate. The one thing that I hate is to find somebody with great gifting that is afraid to use it. And the reason is they don't realize what they're missing in the joy. You know, I love it whenever Jesus does something. When he at the woman at the well, you know, he goes through this whole thing, a theological conversation and all this, and he just blasts her with the word of knowledge. And, you know, it changes her life. She goes, it changes the life of a village. And his disciples come back to him. And when they come back, they said, you need to eat something. He says, man, I have food to eat that you don't even know about. There is something that happens when God uses us that it energizes us and it changes who we are. And the beautiful thing is, I'll do a quote here. We are the house that has been touched by a guy named John Wimber. We need to remember our roots. Mike definitely does. I've heard some of his stories about John. And literally, he has changed our life because of our encounter with him, because he had such an encounter with the Lord. But he said this one time, and it stuck with me. It ties to this song. It says, I spent 20 years trying to be good enough for God to use me. I began to do what he asked, and I didn't have time to get in trouble. Make sense? When we're engaged in kingdom things, our life flows in a different way. It's a different kind of trouble. By the way, I also have a quote, and I haven't written it down here, but and it was by a guy named John Maltby, and I'll see if I can remember it correctly. But it's Jesus promised his disciples three things: that they would be absurdly happy, that they would have something unlimited joy or something like that, and that they would get in lots of trouble. And I can testify to that. I have been in trouble so many times for doing kingdom things, and it's worth it. At one point, I was called into one of the VP's office, and he goes, we know what you're doing down there. And I go, what am I doing down there? He says, you're praying for people. And I go, yeah. I said, they come to me. And see, that's the thing. Whenever you have a kingdom presence, it invites people into your life. And all you have to do is say yes. That's all you have to do. He was a Christian. I said, you know, I'm willing to lose my job for the gospel. Are you? Mr. Nasty here. But I wasn't being nasty. I was actually saying, do you want to join us? Because we were seeing people healed. The next day, this is the way it works. God sets you up. The next day, one of my buddies, he's a Catholic brother, and he was praying with me. I was teaching him what I knew. And he goes, did you hear? Donna's been sick, really ill. She's been to the hospital twice. And I go, really? And that's this guy's administrative assistant. And he goes, you want to pray for her at lunch? And I hesitated. Why? Fear. Why do we have fear when he's with us? Because we're human. How many of y'all are human out there? Okay. Can't see your hands, but that's okay. So Tim goes, I've never seen you back down from anything. I go, bring her down at lunch. And it was so cool because we got three or four people because, you know, by the way, I use non-Christians to pray for the sick too. And how else are they going to see the gospel of the kingdom? And God healed her. It was amazing. And she became an advocate. She was really funny because she was a good Lutheran, and she remained a good Lutheran, you know. But she would come by my desk sometimes, and she would cruise by, and she goes, did you hear about so-and-so? And she'd just throw out their sickness and keep going, you know. We want to create a culture everywhere we go where God uses us. By the way, am I standing in the wrong place or something? I'm vibrating out there. So set back just a little bit. But the reality is this. We want to be kingdom people, but we have to get over this issue of we're unworthy. We were never worthy in the first place. He is the one that is worthy. And he is the one that has brought redemption to our life. And he's changed us by his power. And that our assignment then is to become a disciple of him. Whatever the thing is, I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. By the way, like I said, this is off the cuff. But I've been doing a lot of thinking about what it means. I'm always calling people out. My primary life, Bruce knows this really well. My primary life is in a back room with people. That's my primary life. I am not a public speaker. I've never said I was. But now I'm getting thrown into that a lot. And what I've discovered is I'm just going to be honest about me, and I'm going to be honest about the gospel, and I'm going to invite you in to what God will and can and will do in your life and stuff. But I'm really happy in the back room. This year alone, it's, what is this, March? Is it March? Yeah, it's March. It gets confusing. I've probably prayed for about 300 people or more in a back room. Because I am a prophetic person and stuff, and that's what I do. And people know me, call me in, and I just go sit in a room with 20 or 30 people at a time and just call forth the best in them. Some of them are Christians, some of them are not. And I love it because of what God does in them. Because you know what the prophetic does is it lets people know that God knows who they are. It lets them know, you know, Zacchaeus, his life is transformed because Jesus is walking down the street and sees him in a tree. We all know Zacchaeus, the wee little man. And he is probably the most corrupt guy in the community because he's a tax collector for the Romans. And he's also defrauding even the Romans. He was defrauding everybody. He calls him by name. Zacchaeus, I'd like to come to your house for lunch. One of the best things we can do, if you want to really be an evangelist, eat lunch with people. Literally. Just eat with them, you know, and be a person with them. Because after the lunch, Zacchaeus is a changed man. Because what does he say? Those I have defrauded, I will pay back to four times. If I've taken anything from anybody, it will be restored. And he goes from, it's the Scrooge story. The miser that becomes the philanthropist. That is redemption in people's lives. It happens over lunch. So eat with a lot of people, especially people that you wouldn't want to eat with. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
One of the things that I really enjoy is this is a recent development. I've been going up to Columbus, Ohio. And a guy heard me on the internet, and I'm, by the way, you'll have trouble finding me out there. I don't want to be out there, just so you know. But he heard an interview that I did, and he called up through a series of circumstances and said, would you come to Columbus? He said, I'm a businessman, and I want to try out a new model. And I said, sure. So we had some encounters, and I get up there, and the first night, we just had an open encounter meeting. It was multiple congregations, multiple pastors. And I did this, which I'm not very good at. And then I started prophesying. That's when things light up and stuff, and the power of God fell. Several people got saved. And the guy goes, how did you know how to call him out? I go, because he glows. You know, he glows. And the neat thing was is I called out two people that weren't Christians and told them their destiny. What happens when people know their destiny? They get born again. And stuff. So that's fun for me. And then so the next day I met with business leaders. It's called the Summit. And these guys are multimillionaires and beyond. And I didn't know any of them. And I'm like, there's five of them. And I look at it and I go, okay, there's no pressure here. And I start talking to this one guy, and he starts crying. I go, I got him. I got him good. Yeah, we got him good. Go to the next one and the next one and the next one. And I thought, well, this is a small thing. I go back. I've made a commitment to go every 2 months. So the next time I went, we had 25 people instead of five. And one of the guys came up to me. Well, after I prayed for him, he cried all over me. Yeah, it's okay. You know, and stuff. But he came back and he says, I brought my brother because I saw enmity between his between brothers. And I saw favoritism and stuff. And his father is like a billionaire and the brothers are millionaires. And they've been at war with each other over their company. And I just go, such a sad thing. This time I come back and his brother sits beside me. That's not a good place to sit by a prophetic person. So I reach over and touch him, and the power of God falls on him. These are evangelicals, and he begins to get really hot and sweaty, which is always a good sign. And then I began to prophesy to him. He had to go to a business meeting, so, you know, because their people are in and out. And then later, after the meeting was over, this man comes up and he said, I wanted to come and thank you. And I go, why? He said, those are my two sons, Austin and Patrick. He said, you've changed the life of our family. And I go, do you have 10 minutes? And he goes, I have a meeting in 10 minutes. I said, then we have time, don't we? So I took him to a side room and I blasted him. So now we're friends, you know. But this is the neat thing, because what we're trying to do in that community is to shape the business community to be the outreach, because they have authority. People that have companies can do things that other people can't sometimes. That can be the church into the community. Does that make sense? So the guy that sponsored me said, I want you to do something unusual in my company, and they're a construction company. So he takes me in there. They have a lunch every Wednesday. And he says, I have a friend here I'd like to introduce to you. Now, these are the big burly construction guys and stuff. And I go, okay. And so I start prophesying to him. And I peg this one guy about his marriage. And these, by the way, most of them are not believers. We need to be able to be normal people and talk to them in normal language that they understand, and get rid of the religious jargon and just begin to talk to the heart of who they are and say, your heart can be different. So this one guy starts bawling, and then I call another guy out at the back of the room, and I start prophesying over him, and he's just falling apart. And I'm going, I'm getting these guys. Aren't I nasty? Making grown men cry? It turns out he is the father-in-law of this guy, and they have enmity between them because he's been terrible to his wife. And that's what I called him out on. You need to be nicer in your home. This began to happen all over. I've been there 3 times now, and the father-in-law has become a Christian. The son-in-law just freaks out. He's scared of me, which I would be too. But the Lord has begun to move among these men. So now another guy's had me come into his company, and I did that last time. So saw healing. One guy needed deliverance. I thought, not here. We'll get him later. This is the kingdom. This is what the kingdom looks like. One of the fun things was at one of the meetings, they brought a guy to me, and I was worn out. I'd been praying for people, and I was just tired. It was late. And they go, would you pray for one more guy? And I said, sure. I turned around and I just looked at him. You understand this, Mike. You don't even know what you're talking about. You just grab him. I put my hands on him. I said, I see a garden hose that somebody stepped on and crushed. Lord, we just ask that you'd open up the garden hose. And everybody's looking at me really weird. And I said, I think that'll it. Well, I just got a testimony from them. He had a collapsed artery in his brain. And nobody would do surgery because it was so delicate it would kill him. He finally found a surgeon that was willing to try, because he's going to die either way. And they did an MRI just to double check, because they have the former one. They wanted to do an updated one, and it's healed. This is kingdom stuff. You don't even have to know what you're doing. You know, that's the beautiful part of it. So you just have to have a little bit of guts, you know. And it was kind of fun because I hope to meet him. I haven't met him yet, but I got to see the testimony. He went to his church and gave a testimony, and they recorded it. And I just think it's a beautiful thing when stuff like that happens because it enlivens a community. So this time when I was back, one of the guys, he's actually retired. He's probably 45 years old, and he's retired. He doesn't need to work anymore. And he watched me. He says, I watch you walk into a room and speak to everybody in the room. He goes, what goes on in that brain of yours? And I go, it's a mystery even to God. And he's pretty funny. So he said, what do you do? And I'm going to throw out a few things here, and then I'm going to go to some scripture. I'm sorry, I'm telling stories. I'm hiding the room a little bit. So I told him, I said, do you know how to give a compliment? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, do you know how to give somebody a compliment? He goes, well, sure. I said, then look around anywhere you are, and if you see somebody that your eyes are drawn to, it says Paul, looking while he's teaching, looking, he saw a man that had faith to be healed. And he had the guts to call it out, and a lame man walked. I said, that's what we do. We look for somebody that God is highlighting. You guys know this. Because this is a house of the vineyard. This is who we are. This is who we are. And so I said, once you give them the compliment, it could be, say, I see you're a person of integrity, something like that. And something else will come into your mind, and then you begin to speak it. And I got this note from him just a few days later, because I was there, I left on Friday, and I get this note on Monday. David, this is Derek Brown. I want to thank you for inspiring me. Today at church, I sat during worship and watched for who the Lord highlighted. I felt like I got something, so I wrote it down, shared it with her. She started crying. I told them that the key to know that you're on target is they're crying. And said, yes, it was for her. I had the opportunity to pray for her. Such a blessing. Just wanted to share an encouragement. That's how we began. People say, how do you disciple people? You throw them into the fire. If you ever traveled with John or somebody like Wimber, what he didn't tell you is he was going to train you. And then he would be up there doing some big miracle of healing or something. And then he would call you up and go, sit down. And you're on the spot. The first time I was in Arkansas with him, and I just started working for John. And he did one of those healing things. There's 800 Baptists, Southern Baptists, great place to be. You know, all the cessationists there and stuff. And he just goes, he does this thing, and he goes, hey, Dave, Blaine, would you come down here? And he goes, Dave, that half of the room is yours. Blaine, that half is yours. And then he goes and sits down. And you're on the spot. And the interesting thing is, in this house, you function under the authority of Mike. We were functioning under the authority of John. And when we understand that we are men, they are men of authority, the authority of the Lord. We are under the authority of the Lord and under the authority of the house. We can move freely. We need to have the mentality that this is an equipping center, that this is where we come to learn to do it, that we can take it out there. That we can take it out there. And we need to have the mentality of the song. Go back and read the lyrics of that song. I feel, by the way, I feel unworthy, but he is more than worthy. And he speaks into my heart the thing that he designed me for. And when I listen to that and I step into it, then I get to see things. And I'm also going to tell you something. Timing is everything. I'll be really honest with you. I would love that I could look back and say my life has been just this incredible. It's been pretty cool, actually. But for a long time, I was hidden. When I was 31, I was in a very prominent place. And the Lord says, I'm going to take and hide you. And through a series of circumstances that were just divine, I ended up in Arkansas, of all places. Nobody wants to go to Arkansas. And for 40 years, I was hidden. Before I went, there was a prophetic guy that said, Well, actually, he didn't even know us. He just goes, and long word, shorten it away down. He said, you're a minister. I go, yeah. He said, you won't be for long. God's got other things for you. In fact, I just resigned because God said, go resign. And I go, okay, well, what's God going to do with me? I'm sure it's going to be glorious things. And he goes, you're going to be out of ministry in your mind. God has other things for you to learn that you will train people in later, but you've got to learn the lessons first. I spent 40 years in the marketplace. Worked for Dayspring greeting cards, worked for Hallmark. I worked for a furniture company selling furniture. And what I found is the kingdom expression is in the marketplace, most of us. We are called to many things. Most of us are not called to the pulpit. Most of us are called to the streets. We are here to learn, and then we take it out there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm just one of those guys that's crazy enough to do stuff. And by the way, I'm afraid enough of God not to do stuff. I want to read a passage of Scripture and just put this in context. Romans 12, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The one thing I think we struggle with most is the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind. We need to begin to think about this. What is the mind of Christ toward us? How many of y'all know who Jamie Winship is? If you don't know, you need to find out, okay? Jamie Winship says if he stands in front of a group of people and says, what are your thoughts? How do you think God thinks about you? He said, almost 100% will have a negative point of view. Do you think he died for us to have a negative point of view? Who do you think that voice is in your head? It is the voice of the evil one. It is the voice of us that speaks to us that we are less than worthy. We're less than worthy of being used. And he says, if he comes back and coaches them a little bit, they still think negative things about themselves. He said, what we have to do is we stop and we say, God, I know I'm redeemed because you have died for me and I've made that commitment to you. What is the purpose that you designed me for? What is the purpose? And when we get purpose, we begin to think God's thoughts toward us in a different way. We need to renew our mind to understand, by the way, I'm going to be really honest, you know. When I was young, the first thing I wanted to do, I didn't want to do anything in ministry. Okay, anybody there? Because I just wanted to make money, have a good life, and relax, and do everything else. God had other purposes and stuff. But I still went and made money and relaxed and did things. And God would always show up. And I began to understand at that point that I could not escape the destiny written over my life. I could not escape it. Don't try to escape. Just yield to it. Say yes. Say yes, Lord. And he will take you down past. I call it, I'm writing the book of Acts for David Taylor. The Acts of God in David Taylor's life. I have thousands of stories of God doing things. And most of them are just normal. Does it make sense? We need to begin to say and write down one of my identities, and you know what one of my identities is in the marketplace? It's not prophet. It's not healer. It's I solve problems. I solve problems. I'm a problem solver. When I was at Hallmark, they discovered something about David Taylor. You put him in a mess, and he makes the mess less confusing, and he brings peace. Why is that? We serve the Prince of Peace. When we walk into a place, we walk in with the authority of God, and we don't even know we have it. He dwells within us. Other people notice it, though. Does that make sense, you guys? So anywhere we go, we need to recognize that He is with us with a divine purpose. And I love it. Yeah, I get on planes and stuff, and things stir up around me. And, you know, sometimes I just want to take a nap. But it doesn't work very well. I got on a plane here recently, and this is one of those planes that was only half full, which, by the way, is a miracle in this day. And my seat is over against the window, and there's these two older people. And when I say older, I'm old. They're really old. And they have to get up and let me in there. And I just look at the flight attendant and said, can I just sit in the row? The three rows in front of us are empty. He goes, you got to sit in your assigned seat. And so my opinion is this. God has a destiny in this. So I sat over there in my seat. They're very nice. They were coming back from Africa. They've been on a hiking tour. And I go, man, but they hike like 6 days a week. I mean, they were inspiring. So, and then they go, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm coming back. I was with a retreat with a bunch of college kids up in, you know, upstate New York. And they go, well, what do you do? And I go, how do you tell people you do weird things? And so I began to tell them about, well, I hear things about people, and I just tell them. And they looked real funny. I said, God's always talking. He just doesn't speak English. And we have this little conversation going. And then we find out the plane's not going to take off because there's a problem with the plane. So we have to hike together, which they, by the way, they outran me. They were in good. We had to hike about a mile to another plane. And we're standing out there, and they go, is there anything about you on the web? And I go, there's one thing. And I told them about it. And then they looked it up, and they go, is this you? I go, that's me. And I get on the plane, and the flight attendant, they're feeling bad, which was good. I could manipulate them. So I got a whole row to myself. And then after we get off the plane, we're heading down to the baggage claim area, and they catch up with me, and they go, you are one interesting man. I go, God is one interesting God. And it was just hilarious. We were laughing, and we walked out together. Well, the week later, Mona and I were in Costco, and we run into him. You know how in a city, you know what the likelihood of that is? And they gave us their phone numbers. They go, we want to have you over for dinner and just understand what you do and who you are and who God is in your life. These are things, that's normal life, guys. Let's be normal. Okay. And it says this, for by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you are, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. We all have a measure of faith. And by the way, what I found is everybody wants to be a prophet. I tried everything not to be a prophet. If that's what you want, what we need to do is say, God, what did you create me for? And then do that. I'm not just, but I don't know if it's me, I'm not just a prophet. I'm a great editor. I'm a great writer. I'm a problem solver. I'm an organizational guru. I helped reorganize two companies. I have no training. I have the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? He equips you. The anointing that comes to you equips you for the process. Now, at times you do need the training. I was talking to one of the presidents one day, and they said, well, what are your degrees in? I told him, and they go, how did you get hired? And I looked at him, I go, it's called the favor of God. Yeah. Because out of 1,000 portfolios, I was one of 4 people hired. And I have no degrees. I was the only one out of 160 people that didn't have the right degrees. She said, you would have never been hired if we had known. That's God. It's called the favor of God. Look at yourself as a person of favor. He chose you, didn't he? Did he choose you? Then you have favor. Ask for his favor. By the way, favor does not always look beautiful. If you look at the life of Joseph, favor meant slavery first. Secondly, it meant prison. Thirdly, it meant I'm the ruler of the largest, second charge of the largest country in the world because the favor of God put me there. He trained me through slavery and prison to be the leader of a people. Look at the favor. Look in the mirror today and go, the favor of God is on me. What's it for? Some of you know, some of you don't. But it says, just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is in leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's in showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. If it's in working on cars, let him work on cars faithfully. If it's in... You know, I love calling out people's gifts. I've actually called out mechanics before. I've called out carpenters. I've called out all kinds of people because God puts us in unique places. But he puts us there because he's going to use us to touch communities. And if we do it with a good heart and a good attitude, he will bring people to us that need the gifts that we carry in him. Does that make sense? I knew a man once, he was really funny. He was a mechanic, and he was really sharp because what he would do, he would... How many of you have your mechanics? Have you sat there on a stool and watch you work? That's what he did because he would pin them in there where they couldn't get out, and then he would share the gospel. He was a natural evangelist. He led so many people to Christ. He was also probably pretty obnoxious at times. So think about what your gift is and look at the variety of gifts that are just listed here. And what it is saying, we all have a purpose and a place. I do not try to take somebody else's place. I want the place that God has for me. One of the things that God taught me very young was beware of selfish ambition. I'd rather somebody else succeed in my place than for me to take it from him. Does that make sense? They asked me, I was one of the hiring managers at Hallmark at one point. And I had to do these get acquainted lunches. I hate them. They ask you these terrible questions. They give them a list of questions. You need to ask this. How did you manage your career? You know, how do you tell them? God. No. I have two principles. One of them is this, play nice. And the other is be the hardest worker. Those are things that will get you ahead. And the third one is the favor of God. Be the best you can be. Play nice. And people will notice you. And then they'll ask you. In 1 Peter 3, it says, always be prepared to give an answer to the hope that you have. And they will ask you, why are you different than everybody else? Why are you different? That's the Spirit of Christ testifying. It says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. And I think that there's something to be said here. I came here today with this purpose. Like I said, I'm not real eloquent, but I do know the Father's heart toward people. The one thing I want you to hear, of all things, is you are designed with purpose. And if you're living in your head where you believe that God cannot use you because of this, that, or the other, then get over yourself and realize you can spend 20 years trying to be good enough for God to use you, or you can just do what he says and you won't have time to get in trouble. Does that make sense? Is that good? How simple is that? How simple is it? And what I want to do, I'm going to say a prayer. I carry some authority. I don't know how much. We'll find out. Huh? I want to pray over your minds, that your minds would be renewed and that you would begin to hear the purpose of God over your life. This is probably one of the houses that I visit that most of you know what you're created for. Most places I go don't know. John used to say this, I do not want to create an audience. I want to create an army. That means that you know what your rank is, what your purpose is. If you're artillery, if you're if you're a foot soldier, flight, whatever you are. In the kingdom, we need to know our purpose. And then we need to say, I will fully give myself unto what God calls me to. I will fully give myself unto that. I met a guy, I'm going to finish with one story, and then I'm going to pray for you, because I was so impressed. I was with all these rich guys. I'm going, well, it's awkward. You know, I got a little farm down here and stuff. But he said, there's a guy that's very, very private. I want to take you to meet him. And he said, be very careful the way you tread. I go, okay. So we pull up to this building. It's a humongous building. I walk into this guy's office, and it was so stinking plush. His office was it was bigger than half my house. And I noticed him, and he was I was introduced to him, and my friend just goes, listen to David. He'll have things to say. And so he sat down. My friend turned his back to us. And I'm sitting there, this is really awkward. And he turns where I can't really see him very much. He turns to the side. And for 45 minutes, I began to speak to him about destiny. And after 45 minutes, he goes, I have a business appointment. I'd like to eat dinner with you. Yes, sir. I still don't know who he is. So we leave, and that evening he brought his wife and stuff. And she looked at me and she said, I was a little afraid to meet you after what my husband told me about you. And I said, well, here, let me just talk to you for a little while. Began to talk to her. Very, very, by the way, very sweet people, just so you'll know. And he had loosened up. And it was really funny, because I'm telling the story the way I see it, because I want you to understand something. And I'll explain that in a second. They look like they were dressed in Walmart clothes. And that's not a bad thing. My wife shops Walmart. She was just shopping at Walmart this week, you know. But this man obviously has more money than I had ever seen. By far. And his wife is the same way, and they drove modest cars. I go, there is something about these people. There is something about these people that is different. And so after I shared with his wife, he goes, because you have spoken into my life accurately, you've spoken into my wife's life accurately, I'm going to tell you who I am. He owns 3 major chains of restaurants across the nation. When he was 17, he came to a place of faith, and he says, I'm going to devote myself, because he came out of poverty, so I'm going to devote myself to the poor. And he goes, and I've chosen to devote myself to young people. And he said, I have 7 organizations that I support that reach in all around the world, that reach into the lives of kids. He says, one of them, he only told me about one in depth. He says it's in India, in a place where illiteracy, it reigns. And he says, how can they read the scriptures if they can't read? He sponsors 315,000 kids in that one organization. He goes, I've told my kids they receive no inheritance. I will help them get their own businesses started. He says, when I die, all my wealth goes into these programs. I am humbled by somebody that understands what they're made for. And they have given themselves so fully that it costs them everything except this. Jesus tells his disciples, no one has given up a home, father, mother, sisters, brothers, that will not inherit 10 times more in this life and in the life to come with persecution. That's the qualifier. Do we want to stand out? Do we want to be different? Do we want to risk things because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us for incredible activity? Do we? I don't know if I do sometimes. By the way, you can ask my wife. You know, people come up, this is funny. People ask my wife, what's it like living with him? She goes, you don't even want to know. I'm just a person. But I refuse to enter the kingdom of heaven and have him look at me and say, well, let's put it this way. I don't know how much to share sometimes. I have a friend that was taken into heaven. That's not unusual, by the way. There's a lot of weird guys out there. And he stood in front of the throne of the Lord, and an angel read to him out of Corinthians. And what he read to him was that the foundation of all things is Christ. And what we build upon it with silver and gold has eternal value. And things that were built on our own merit is wood, hay, and stubble, and we burned up. And then there was a wall of flame in front of it. Now, by the way, I don't know what it's really going to be like up there, but there was a wall of flame in front of the throne, and people would come through it, and they would fall on their knees and scream, and he thought they were being burned. So the angel said, draw near and listen to what they say. They would come through the wall of flame, and they would fall on their knees and say, if I had known you were so worthy, I would have done what you asked me to do. If I had known you were so worthy, I would have done what you asked me to do. When we get there, all of us are going to realize how much we failed. But how many of us are going to realize when the Lord looks at us and he says this, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the happiness of my Father. That is my goal. And I think that's your goal as well. So what I'm going to do, some of you have this thing in your head, and it's always telling you how you lack instead of what he has called you to be, to change the world that is around you. Does that make sense? And so I'm going to pray over that voice because I want you to hear his voice tell you how uniquely created you are for the purposes that he's created you for. Somebody says, well, you know, you've done this and this and this. You know what I did my last job? I sold mattresses. I have a master's degree. And I go, Lord, I'm selling mattresses. And he goes, no, you're here for kingdom purposes. And I led a whole bunch of people to the Lord. And I saw healings just because I would say yes at the right moment. I ate with guys that, you know, it's just nuts. I don't care what you do or who you are. I want you to be free to share the kingdom in whatever way he has given you. Can we all join in that?
Yes.
So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for this place. This is a house that is open to who you are. It is a place of welcome. I've been here for 20 years, literally every year for 20 years. I've seen this place. It's awesome. I come here and get refreshed. It is a wonderful place. You guys are so gifted, but there's more. So, Lord, I pray now. I ask, by the way, if this affects you, would you please stand? And I wish I had the time to sit with in front of each one of you and call out what I see in you. A lot of you I've prayed for over the years. This is incredible. So, Father, I ask that you would fill their hearts and their minds with destiny that you have created for them. And I ask that the lies of the evil one would be broken off of their mind. And instead of that, they would begin to have dreams and they would have an understanding of what they're created for. And in the midst of that, that they would see the purpose. And then you would begin to do something that only you can do, which is to set up divine appointments for them to be able to use the gifting they carry. Literally, whether it's a mechanic, a lawyer, a teacher, whatever it is, Father, I ask that you would set them free. If they're prophetic, I ask that prophetic would flow from them. If they're a healer, healing would flow from them. If they're a teacher, that they would teach. Literally, whatever it is, that number one, that they would become disciples of you and that they would disciple others. One of the things I'm going to be really honest, I was a disciple of editorial people and writers. There is godly things in that. So, Father, I ask that there would be freedom for them to fully express themselves in their careers, in their neighborhoods. And I ask that you would speak into their hearts and lives now. Lord, even now I ask that you would begin to tell them that thing I've talked to you about many times before. It really is real. And that you would provide the circumstance for them to step into it. That they would look and see somebody and go, that's my assignment. What would you say to them? What would you say to them? By the way, whenever you stood up, you just made a big mistake. When you stood up, you said yes. And when you say yes to God, I'm going to say a strong word. It's not as strong as it could be. You've made a vow unto God that you will listen to what he has to say and that you'll try it out. You know, Wimber used to say this. He would go out and pray for 100 people and then come back and tell me healing doesn't work. And one time I go, why do you do that? He goes, if they pray for 100 people, somebody's going to get well and they'll be hooked for life. You know, one of my friends actually took him up on it, and he was the college and career pastor at a major church. His college and career group was like 300 or something people. And he went back that week. He prayed for 10 people. 9 of them got well. One of them didn't. One of them was the senior pastor's daughter. They fired him. They didn't want that in their church. Here's the end of the story. Lloyd Ogilvie hired him because he wanted to start a healing ministry in Hollywood Presbyterian. I saw my buddy interviewed when he had been doing it for over 40 years in the newspaper, national newspaper. And they said, by the way, he had cancer. He had 11 surgeries. He never got well. And they go, how do you, in your mind, handle the difficulty of you have not been healed and the people you pray for get well? And he goes, I don't understand the mystery of God. I just know that he desires to touch people. It doesn't have to seem logical. But it starts with that. I'm going to take some steps and see what happens. So, Father, once again, they've said yes, and I ask that you'd hold them to the word and give them the opportunity. And I bless this house. I bless the leadership of this house. And we ask that you would activate all of us in the things of your kingdom. You alone are God. And we are no more than a servant. And we don't want to sit in the hall. We want to participate with you. And we want purity of heart. We ask for that in your name, Father. Amen and amen. Thank you and bless you.
All right, let's all stand. I know you just sat down. So I can't see the whites of your eyeballs. It's too dark in here. Anyway. So whenever we have a word like that, I don't know how many of you feel a little inspired, right? So a little inspired is a dumb thing to say. Because actually in this house, in this place, and what's really happening is an impartation is coming forth. And sometimes when we have our guest speakers, and any speaker, but sometimes our guest speakers especially sent to us to help us, equip us for works of service, for serving the Lord better, right? So he just sowed a beautiful seed. And it's really, really important, I think, but you know, it depends on who you are or what you're, be it done to you according to your faith. But he sowed a tremendous seed that if you will water that seed, I think you might just find yourself moving and just to lots of things. I hear it all the time. People say, you know, I just want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm the same way, right? But being led by the Holy Spirit, if you think it is a big concept, you know, and it's a heavy thing and big, you'll never do it. But just day by day decisions and being willing to be used by the Lord to say something special to someone, to encourage someone, to actually obey when the Lord prompts you, and that sort of thing. The only time that we don't get that happening too much in our life is when we just shut the whole thing down. We just kept saying no and no and no. But God doesn't speak usually with a bullhorn. He just sort of says something, makes a suggestion, and then you sort of do it, and then it works out. How about that? Wonder if we could just pray about that today, or just respond to that. Lord, I want to respond to if you say something to me that I'll do it. Right? There's two parts to that. One is that you'll say something to me. The second thing is if you say something, I'll actually follow through with what you told me to do. Right? So I think that that was like sort of the heart of what he said, that God's willing to say something to you. And not just anything. I mean, things that are personal, things that are important for you to do, part of your life on this planet, part of your duty, part of your job. I mean, you may have a regular job of doing this or that, but all of us have a job of being used by God. I think there's a lot of us that yearn to do that, but he just gave a very simple thing. You just listen, and you may not be very sure about what God's saying, but you just follow through with it, and then the more you do that, then you get a little bit used to the way it kind of sounds, and you just sort of, and I tell you, for me, in terms of stepping out and risking and doing things with a neighbor, a friend, or whatever, one thing I found is that it always takes risk, but it's not nearly, as you do that, as scary as you thought, but also that's the only way you're going to find out if you're actually led by the Lord, is if you actually, step out. And it's very humbling, can be very fearful sometimes. I think that we talk a lot about these things, these items, these things, but this is a nice little refresher. And I would say today, I was just sitting there thinking, an opportunity for some of us to get back on the saddle of being led by the Spirit, hearing God's voice, and doing things. You know, sometimes other things crowd that out, but I could think that would probably be a nice little summary of what the will of God is for your life. Day by day, wherever you find yourself, whether it's in a business, or whether it's you find yourself in your neighborhood, or you find yourself in your own family, wherever you find yourself, just do what the Lord wants you to do. Just take a step, you know? And we talk about this constantly. One of the reasons why I have my life in the Spirit class is we just talk all the time about just getting used to God's voice, getting used to various aspects of God. Especially one of the biggest ones is that he actually likes you. That's a big one. And so let's just do something here together as a community. I got really convicted there because sometimes, you know, I get so busy I stop responding to little prompts that I get, you know. Why don't you go talk to that person? Why don't you go over there? And so I go through seasons where I do better with that, and some days I just get too crazy and whatever. So I'm just going to ask this. If you want that, or you want us to be prompted by the Lord and respond to it. There's two parts to this. One, speak to me. The second thing is, help me to do something about it. All right? Help me to obey. Right? Even if it's just praying for someone. Or maybe it's going talking to the neighbor across the street or whatever it is. All right? So I'm just going to pray that over all of us. Lord, we ask that you would help us to hear and then give us the courage to step out. Okay. Now, I can't see everybody very well here, but how many would like to have that happen in your life? You'd like to be prompted by the Lord, and then you'd like to actually do something about it. Okay, there's your hands. Okay, good portion of you. All right. All right, Lord, keep your hand up. You're committed now. So, Lord, I want to ask you that you would wind up. Not wind up, that's a bad way to say it. Maybe it isn't. Help us to get interested again. And hearing your voice. And then I'm going to ask you something else, Lord. All the people that got their hands up, I assume you're in this place. You want to hear God's voice. And then I pray, God, you'd also help us with the courage we need to step into what we think you're saying. It could be a wide range of things. Talk to people we don't know. It could be go do this across the street, whatever. But I want to ask you to clean our ears out because we've been inspired today. I pray you take the depression off of us and the heaviness of us that we're not worth anything or we don't have a calling. We wouldn't have anything, you know. It's just who you are. The Lord wants to speak to you. You're the servant. Be it done to you according to your word. Lord, I pray, God, that you just help us with the second part in the name of Jesus to follow through. I pray that the word of God inside each of us, I'd say the words of God inside of each of us would be inspired this very day, this week. We'd listen to that ear that you know we know you've given us. And Lord, we pray you would also give us the faith to follow through. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And we have been given the salt and the light from the Lord. And I pray, God, you help us to let our light shine. Help us to obey your promptings. Help us to hear your promptings and obey. Trust and obey. And I just pray, God, you would just use us in new ways. Use us in new ways. All right, so I got a bunch of people with their hands up. But I just think, Lord, I just ask you to forgive us for all the times where we just chickened out. We had a prompting or a leading and we just didn't follow through. I pray, God, you would help us to do better with that. And I declare there's no condemnation for us, but because that wasn't going to help anything. But Lord, I just feel inspired today. And I pray you take this inspiration we've been giving and I just see little flames on people today. I pray that the flame would just get brighter and brighter in us from this message. That he would have sowed a seed in us to hear your voice and then respond to it. That you would just do that, not just 1 hour from now, but for a long time. I pray this seed that he sowed in us would last a long time. That you would use us in our businesses, where we work. You would use us in the everyday people we meet. At the grocery store, we'd use us in our neighborhood. And I pray, God, you would just cause a sense of awareness in our spirit that you want us to speak to someone or encourage someone or be of use in the kingdom. I think it's the deepest desire of all of us to be useful in the kingdom deep down inside. Sometimes it gets hidden a little bit, but we just want to be fruitful. And I'm just asking, Lord, you give us the courage not only to listen again, but then when we hear, then just try. Just step out. Talk to a person about something or tell a person what you see. Just like he was describing here. We just pray that anointing you gave David to do that for a long time now. I pray you'd put it on the whole church, our church, in a new way. In a new way. I just release that, Lord, as he's released it. He's already released that. That's what he released. They would hear your voice and do what you say. And it doesn't have to be over jumping a tall building in a single bound. It's just little things here and there that turn out to be big things if it's the word of the Lord, right? Lord, I pray you'd stir up the prophetic anointing, this ability to hear God's voice and just say something nice or be impressed and then obey it. And I just pray, Lord, it wouldn't be a burden for us. It'd be a delight. It would be the joy of our heart. I pray, Lord, we would actually see this happening with our kids and our children. They would do the same. And I just pray this holy impartation, inspiration of hearing God's voice and responding to it would just last in our congregation. We just pause a moment. We ask you to just take that word of just simple hearing and responding, that we would take that word and it would just bear fruit all over the place for many years to come. I pray today would be an impartation, a lovely impartation of the lovely grace of God and the love of God. Take those things that you give us and be bold enough to step out and give those away to somebody else. It might be a perfect stranger. It might be your mother-in-law. It might be your brother. It might be someone you run into on a plane. But I pray, God, you would make us active and aware. I just pull away all the fear off of us. Also guilt. Also just thinking that this would be totally impossible. But Lord, I know and you know that a lot of this stuff that happens that's supernatural seems so natural that we think it can't be real. But just a simple step of faith from where we are into somebody else's life. in the simplest of ways. Lord, I'm asking for that impartation that he gave today to last. I pray this word that he gave, these examples he gave, would live in us. Not just today, but tomorrow. Matter of fact, I pray that what he said would bug us, bother us tomorrow, the next day. And also I pray for amazing courage, just courage to step out and try. You think you might have something being led by the Lord, something where you're being led by the Lord, and you just try. I pray you would just put that word in us, and as a result of what he said, we just try. We just step out. Step out. For our neighbors, our friends, people near us, people far away, people in the grocery store, people wherever. I believe, Lord, what he described as part of the heritage of what we call the vineyard. I mean, every movement, every group of churches has things that they were assigned by God to do. Even whole movements of churches. And this is one thing, whether you know that or not, we were assigned to do. So, Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to pray for people. We want to hear your voice and tell them things about themselves and encourage them. Lord, we want to be used. We just volunteer. Here I am, Lord. Use me. And I just pray, God, you'd break the fear away from us. I pray whatever he said today and imparted would last. That it would be a word that bugs us. That we just keep thinking about it, thinking about it. I pray we'd even think about it at night, in the day. We'd think about it, think about it. How could the Lord use me wherever I am? How could the Lord use me in this situation? He's already speaking. How could it be that the mighty God of the universe, the one that loved us so much, he shed blood on a cross for us, rose from the dead. How could it be that he wouldn't want to talk to us? I know he talks through the Bible. I read it constantly. But only reason why, one of the reasons, biggest reason why you should read the Bible, should inspire us to be supernatural people. It should inspire us to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, representatives in the earth, making disciples just simply by giving what God's given to us to another person. Well, it's an act of kindness, many of which we do all over the place around this campus, but even maybe beyond that, a kind word, or maybe a word that we might think from the Lord, just something that we might be willing to be used by God. We see someone sick, and we go over and pray for them in the office, or maybe alongside the street, someone that we see in need, and we just give them some money, or we respond, ask them a question, and maybe it leads to a conversation. Someone we're sitting to by in an airplane. Now, this is a equipping word for our whole life. This is a equipping word for all of us to move as sons and daughters, supernatural representatives of the kingdom. So, Lord, we declare we're your disciples, and we look at what you did, and we go, whoa, that's what it is to follow Jesus. And we see him healing the sick and talking and encouraging this one and that one, ending up in the strangest of situations, but always having the right word. And I pray, God, you would equip us with words and give us the courage to speak them out, just like Jesus did. Zacchaeus, get down from that tree. Hanging out with tax collectors and people that nobody else wanted to hang around with. Jesus, you did it. Lord, you did it. I want to be just like Jesus, Lord. Thank you for this word that was given to us. I think it's a living and active word. I pray, Lord, you would inspire us not only to hear your voice, but to let that voice go out into the world, to our friends, our neighbors. I pray you would do it in this moment, in Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com, and we'll see you next time.